Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And like no time has passed and really nothing's happened, it's time for the big return to
Unspun Season 8. Season 8. I mean, I think I always look at those shows, those reality shows, and they do double counts for seasons. So you know, season the fall seasons, you know, like Survivor, they're like season 6,000 or something. I'm like, wait a minute, I think I started watching that like 20 years ago, but they're on season 45 because you know, so are we
They do a
season
two a
eight?
year.
Yeah, are we season, because we could say we had three
16.
seasons, four seasons, because we do it all year round pretty much, all seasons. So four times 2000, January 2018. So what's that math? Let's go with season 24.
Season 24 on Spud Podcast. This is where we take the spin out of the headlines. This is where we talk through some of the things that should be landing on our kitchen table, but everybody's so busy listening to a murder podcast. With all due respect to the murder podcast, you're not really learning about the things in government that you should be aware of before the top of your head pops off at the headline. And you know what, George, it's tough to choose where to begin, but why don't we walk people through some of the things that have happened since our last podcast that we did?
Well, you got trapped in China. Not the greatest
Oh,
place for a journalist to get trapped. I mean, usually when somebody
That
doesn't come back from China, you're like, "Oh, who's good? What's happened?"
yeah, Air Canada, thank you. Thank you. I got caught in just that little window of
Yeah.
like, not gonna lie, it was a little bit stressful there for a minute, but the people that I was working with at International Sports Broadcast, I was doing the World Games in Chengdu, China, which was unbelievable and such a pleasant surprise in the whole experience of what it was like going to and being in China and the wonderful people of Chengdu. It was really quite something. But the idea of being stuck, because I traveled through Beijing, the idea of being, rather stranded with no real idea of how long I might be there with an expiring visa, as you point out, a media working visa that I had. Yeah, I was a little bit nervous, but ISB, they pivoted. It was not Air Canada who got me out of China. It was the CEO of ISB making the maneuver, and I actually flew back on China Airlines, and
Oh, okay.
I flew through Taipei. You know what? If you're a nervous flyer, always good to fly across the waters where there are military actions happening most of the time.
Yeah, I lived in
It was
Taiwan in 89, so it was interesting time to be there right after right during Tiananmen, like that happened while I was in Taiwan.
But
So
what an experience, George, to travel from here to China, stayed there for the better part of 3 weeks,
yeah.
then traveled to Taipei, stayed there for the better part of a day. I mean, I didn't leave the airport,
Right.
but got a view of
Oh,
it because
okay.
it was during the day. And then I flew to Seattle direct and had to drive or be driven back from my partner from Seattle to Vancouver. That instead of flying Chengdu, Beijing, Vancouver, I had to take that other route. And I have to tell you, as much as it sounds unbelievably stressful, and it was to a degree, made some lemonade, man. And it all worked out. And every customs check and every security check, I kept saying, I've got a couple things to declare. I bought a new little video camera thingy, a DJI Osmo 3 pocket camera that's like an ENG camera that's about
Yeah, I
this
got one of
big. It's
those.
super cool. There you
Yeah.
go. And I kept saying, I bought this. And they're like, yep, welcome. And I'm like, okay. It was just really,
Why am I not being arrested? I thought everybody was
yeah.
being
Well, like,
arrested.
so there was that spin. So it was kind of an unspun
You're
Chinese
right.
experience. And that's not to say that, I mean, this is a very large country I'm talking about here, billions of people. Chengdu is 22 million people. My experience in that city was really surprising. So it was the unspun Chinese experience. Enough about me though. Like, what else is happening? The Air Canada strike happened. We
Lots
got
of
to talk
strikes.
about, right?
Lots.
The Canada Post is always on teetering on the edge. And now
Yeah.
BCGEU, that's big.
What I don't understand is don't we have a lovely left-wing government that's pro-union and got supported by the unions and won
I
because the
know.
unions? What's happening? I don't understand. Are they not? What's going?
What's happening? Take the spin out of it for me, George. What do you see happening here?
Well, I just think it's everybody's with. what's been happening in the last few years. I think people want more money. I think there's the issue of working from home, working, all that's starting to seep up, I think, with a lot of government organizations where they're starting to say, come back to the office. And in the case of some crown corporations, for example, and this is the argument some senior people make, is that, hey, we've got staff, in order to have competent staff, across the province, we can't have them all come into Vancouver or into Burnaby or wherever that head office for whatever department or crown corporation is. This is gives the government flexibility, not to mention a savings in space for us as taxpayers. But I guess the ultimate question is, are they working hard enough? But I think they are. I mean, I think there's a lot of thing. I don't, we work from home. I have an office as well. I'm in my office now, which I prefer to work in, but
I'm in
we
my
don't,
kitchen.
yeah, but nobody's tracking our mouse moves. But in government, they do. They do. They have all these little tools to track stuff like that. And maybe there's a way to scam it, but they're pretty strict.
Right. But I watched a lot of people in office environments playing Candy Crush. I mean,
That's right.
so
And
I
talking
think
to each
I
other.
personally, for sure, almost ad nauseum, really.
Yeah.
For me, it's like set the bar of work output. If you complete these
Right.
tasks and complete them
Yeah.
well, I don't care if you get them done in an hour. If
That's
it takes you 16
a very
hours to do it,
freelance mindset, entrepreneurial mindset you have there, Jody. That's why you've been in your job for so long. Never have one
that's
job.
right.
Never have one job.
No, and now I'm what? I'm at 10 years now. This will be my 10th year not working for
The man.
one. And
Right.
it's interesting because you almost have to teach yourself to take a vacation, because when you're working
Yeah,
from
I don't.
home,
Yeah.
right, you don't.
Always working.
And when you
Always
do, it's
working.
like, meh.
I mean, I think
And
my new
people,
setup with my business now is the way I built it since COVID. I can now travel and work, and clients don't even know where I am. We've
you're
done
good
our
at it.
podcasts, from everywhere in the world now. So
Totally.
it's thanks to Zoom, really. Hashtag Zoom sponsorship available.
Hashtag Zoom.
So I
Very
think I love
funny.
it, but it's I
So
get
the
it.
BCGEU strike seems very acrimonious off the hop, which strikes always do. But this one felt like, you know what? Even before we go on strike, we're not going to deliver this booze to these restaurants to do the thing. It's like, oh God, okay.
Yeah.
And it always comes down to the liquor stores. Isn't that
Yeah,
it's
that's right.
so
It
funny?
touches us personally.
It does. We're all like,
You don't have to file my taxes, but where's my bottle of Jack Daniels? Oh, I can't have that,
where's
right?
my
Where I can't have
neutral?
that.
Totally. So where do we see this going?
I
We
think it's
saw the
escalating. It's escalating, of course. They're
it's escalating.
in front of the finance minister's office today. Yeah, they'll probably hit the liquor stores on Saturday or Friday night or something.
Probably.
Yeah, I
But
don't know.
interesting though, like with Air Canada, when they were legislated back to work and the flight attendants were like, no, I'm sorry, but no. I found that to be wild to take in. Like the compliant Canadian is gone, right?
Right.
Because I mean, and justifiably so for some of us who believe that you should be paid for all of the hours that you work. I mean, in being stranded by Air Canada, I didn't feel like the flight attendants stranded me. I feel like the company did. They knew this
Right.
was coming. They said, well, maybe we'll give you 50% of the time that you spend when the plane isn't in the air. Like, planes are spending more and more time stuck and waiting and delayed and maybe not happening at all,
Well, what I
ever
hate is they
since
close those
COVID.
doors when you're on a plane so fast. It's only because once they close the door, they start getting paid. How many times have like they, sorry, you can't come into the plane, and you're like, but it's sitting right there. No, we close the doors. You're like, well, open the doors. No, I can't, because then we gotta turn the clock back on for the flight attendants. You're like, this is dumb. But
It
it's
is dumb.
I love their argument though. Is like, well, this is the way we've always done it. You're like, well, okay, so
That'll get you
what?
fired if you work for Scott
Yeah.
Moore. Literally, Scott
It's the
Moore
way
hired
we've
me at
always done it.
Sportsnet. He was like, there's three things that'll get you fired. Don't call me Scotty, don't put me on TV, and don't tell me like we're doing it because that's the way we've always been doing
Yeah,
it.
I
That
love
was a
that.
lesson I learned in my late 20s, and it stuck with me. It's so dumb to say, well, that's just the way we do it. What other things that happened over this summer? Because we could talk for hours here to catch up. Obviously, Mark Carney won. Pierre Poilievre embarrassed and then needed to run. He needed to boot a conservative in Alberta in order to take that riding, and he won.
100 people running against him. Yeah, he won, and
That
but he's
long
really
ballot thing was
yeah,
weird.
this is crazy. And he got 80% of the vote or something. He's really
Of course
having
he
a
did.
tough time finding his footing now, though. I think,
Yeah.
he's got a leadership review coming up. I would predict that this guy, if he lasts a year, I'd be surprised. I just don't
Really?
think that. I think the knives are coming out in the caucus. You can sense it. We always
Yeah.
talk about this. If you lose your caucus, you're toast. You're
Yeah.
toast.
Yeah.
So, I think that's starting to happen. And I think, a leadership review, he might make it through this one. Give me another chance. But what do you stand for? What did Carney stole, as the Liberals do, steal all of the good ideas and make them their own? But right now, I would say we have probably the most conservative government we've ever had in Canada. I mean, the
But see,
same,
that's just the thing, George. Like, I, as a centrist, look at a government that takes the best ideas that are brought to the table by the taxpayer-paid representatives of our ridings across this great country. It being a conservative idea or a liberal idea, or like, how about it's an idea that Canadians should and could consider and possibly put into play? Like the
this is
rhetoric
why you'll
that
never be a politician, Joe.
I will never be a politician, but it's also a reason why I look at the Pierre Poilievres of the world, and I've listened to him for years and years and years, and I've helped pay a salary for years and years and years, and I've never really seen him do anything but complain about the other, right? Like, and I seriously, and that doesn't mean I loved Justin Trudeau, because I did not love Justin Trudeau, but I certainly would, when given the choice between those two people, I would have chosen the one who had some kind of connection when traveling the world or representing Canada. Like, there was nothing that spoke to me from Poilievre's rhetoric that said, yeah, you should go out on the world stage and say that. You know what I mean? And now we're looking at happening down in the US, that straw man kind of, that is an option in Canada. Canadians went, no,
Yeah.
no,
I just
no.
love the fact that finally they're doing what I've been saying for years, which is build, 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 build. How do you think you will get
Right.
anything
You
that you
have been.
have as a Canadian if you don't build the stuff that gets our stuff out of here to make money so that we can have the lifestyle that we're used to and
You have
the
been saying
homes
that
that
for
we live
24,
in?
yeah, 24 seasons.
Finally, we might see this pipeline so that trains don't crash and derail and pour oil and gas all over neighborhoods or whatever. Come on, it's time to
It
move
was the
on.
Liberals, though, that greenlit the twinning of the pipeline that's
They bought
complete,
it.
wasn't it?
They bought it.
Yeah,
They bought it,
right.
yeah. And
So
they
just
did
to,
turn down the other one, so to East
but I
Coast, so.
mean, one still got built. So the people that are like, nothing gets built under
Yeah.
these Liberals,
Yeah, you're right.
actually they do. They do. And some things get built under a conservative government. I'm sure we could find something.
Well, nothing's getting built in BC by the NDP government, that's for sure. And I think
Sightsee.
that is, that's not theirs. Not none of the only
But
project
it
that they've
got
done
finished. I
is,
don't know. I'm not
yeah, it
protecting
did
it. I'm
get
just
finished.
saying,
You're
like,
right. You're right.
give me
You're
an
right.
example.
Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
that comes to
Yeah.
mind.
LNG
But the
and Site
ferry.
C and the bridge to New Westminster. They could take credit for that one.
Right.
They
Where's the
do.
tunnel?
That could have been finished 3 years ago.
I
The stupid
know.
bridge. My God, people. Anyways, so they have done nothing in that. You clearly, if we'll come bring the EB back home, and I think the BCGEU is part of that. People are not really
Yeah.
happy with EB right now. And
No. Do you think there might be an election?
well, that's what some of the conservatives hope, I think, because if there was an election today, the BC Conservatives would win
Do
easily.
you, under John Rustad?
Yeah. Well, he's the
You
Nigel
think so?
Farage of
He's
personality
what?
plus. He's the Nigel Farage. It just shows you that, I no offense to John Rustad, but he's not the greatest personality. But then you look at Nigel Farage in England, the guys are like wooden, like whatever, and he's killing it there.
Yeah.
It just shows
I
you
don't think
politics
British
is this,
Columbia.
about not
Sorry.
about just about personality. It's also about, what you stand for, focus, policy ideas, really showing how do you, it's not just about looks and good, good looks and charm.
I think the worst look for John Rustad is the fact that his big tent party has some crazy in it. Like denialism of residential schools and tinfoil hat wearing and Wi-Fi is going to give you COVID or cancer or whatever, and LGBTQ2S plus, snipers. Like, it's just wild.
Some of those people have left the party, but yeah, there's
But there needs to
definitely
be
some.
a leader who denounces that as it happens. Like
But
there needs to be
is
no
there? Don't you think that people want that
fringe.
now? It
I
seems like
think
people want
I
it.
personally think that British Columbians writ large do not want that. I believe
I
that.
wish I could agree.
I know. I'm just gonna put it out there. That's my
I will
belief.
say that my time
If
in
they tightened
politics.
that fringe and moved just slightly to the center, I believe the Conservatives would win in a landslide.
Yeah,
If
I think they
they tightened
win.
the, but I
Yeah.
don't think John Rustad's the guy.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, it
Yeah, I
depends when they call
guess.
an election. I mean, it really comes down to the Green Party and what they want to decide here. So we'll see. But you know,
Right.
so they still hold the balance of power. But
Yeah.
it's what do they stand for? I don't even know. But there is a new B Conservative Party of Vancouver, I had been told.
Before we go there, can I just ask you about the immigration piece from EB? And because they're starting yesterday, there was a press briefing where he was talking about a bunch of stuff, but he was like, I guess we do need to look into the foreign worker program and immigration. And but he didn't really say how he wanted to look into it. Like,
Yeah, I don't want to be anti-immigration, but
no.
I hear it's popular. No, this is Rustad thing or EB thinking in
Oh.
his mind, but I have to. But that seems to be the way everybody wants politicians to be now. So how do I become anti-immigration without being anti-immigration?
Right. While
I mean,
still
it's
needing all of those foreign workers to run all of the care homes and hospitals and
and all
basically
the.
do every job that 95% of British
Do you
Columbians
want
refuse to
your do you
do.
want your do you want your wine? How do you think those grapes get taken care of? I mean,
Yeah.
it's everywhere, and I think it's interesting to see that challenge. And I think there's all the conservative movement for sure talks about the massive immigration into Canada during that, during the Trudeau years, 2, 3 million people coming in.
Yeah.
The argument is, who are these people? Where do they come from? What's their qualifications?
Or where do
I
they
don't.
live and how do we care for them if they get sick? How do we as a country who already struggled with housing affordability and healthcare issues?
Back to the big pipelines and start making some money.
Yeah,
That's what we do.
right.
I mean, we need
Yeah.
people. We're
We
not
need
having
people.
enough babies.
Yeah.
So not no Western industrialized country is. So to Japan has proven that a population decrease really stalls your economy. So
Yeah.
and zero immigration. So how do you deal with that as a society? People want to come to Canada. They want to live here. It's a safe place.
I'm an immigrant, daughter of an immigrant. I wouldn't be here
Me
without
too.
them.
Son
I
of
wouldn't,
a.
yeah.
I mean, she was Welsh,
So,
so I don't know how controversial that is, but
Yugoslav Danish. We bring the aquavit and we're prepared to drink it. So we're going to the liquor store before the BCGEU strike hits. Okay, let's talk about the new
having lived in
Conservative
Denmark
Party.
and consumed a lot of aquavit
Is very good.
and Gamaldansk, which is horrible.
So good. So
No,
good.
well,
It is
anyways,
terrible. It's terrible, but it's
terribly
so good.
good. It's a breakfast drink.
Right? You have that and a posa and you're good. Yeah. So let's talk about this new Conservative Party of Vancouver. What's happening here?
Well, I think it's interesting. This campaign, this election next year is going to be. I mean, there's the Liberal Party of Vancouver. There's the Conservative Party of Vancouver. There's ABC. There's One City. There's the what the team for Livable Vancouver. There is
Cope.
Vision going to come back? The COPE.
Yeah.
These are just the parties I'm remembering.
Right.
NPA, will they come back? It's a bit mad, a bit crazy, and it's really a statement about Ken Sim's lack of leadership. I would say the likelihood of Ken Sim as winning as he did not in 2018, even though his party did win, when he was head of NPA, he lost, but the whole
Right.
party won and majority on all levels, but he didn't win as a mayor. Is likely going to happen again next year. If he stays on as ABC's leader, I think nobody likes this guy. The data is true. I see it all the time. There's polling that's going to be happening soon that will show some of that data. I just think that there's,
What do
it's.
you think it is about Ken Sim that makes him so unpopular?
I'll just take my 24-year-old son. He's cringe. That's what anybody in your
Yeah.
20s, I don't know what your son says, but if you ask
He says
somebody young
cringe.
who they,
Yeah.
generally my son votes, but generally they don't vote, but they just look at this guy and go, ugh. I go, but at least you
I
know
got
who
a
he is.
17-year-old and he's like, he is super sus.
Yes,
Like the
sus.
backdrop, yeah. The backdrop of like hardcore band signage, like on stage, literally negative graffiti about the mayor of Vancouver. Like there's a whole movement of these young people, like you said, that are just like,
yeah,
there's nowhere to live. I can't afford to live anywhere. And they really blame the state of our city and even many things, frankly, that lie at the feet of our provincial and federal governments. They do lay it all at the feet of our municipal government, just as a starting point. So
I will say, though, the housing issue is an interesting one, and in Vancouver specifically right now, because we've got the, you know, 4,000 units coming online, rental units coming online over the next year. Rental prices have already gone down, partly because people are moving out of BC, but also because there's all these rental projects that are coming on. This young woman I know is 24. She just got into the, and she's smart. She got into that new development on Granville and Broadway. Beautiful apartment, $1,400 a month. $1,400 bucks.
Whoa!
As long as she makes, one bedroom, 16th floor, beautiful view. It's an amazing building. If you ever have a chance to go see it, and
that's the south.
It's the one with the lobby. It's a new one. The super super big tower.
Yeah. So the southeast corner of Broadway and Granville.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the giant one, can't miss it. So
yeah, it's giant.
You know, but once she makes more than $70,000 a month or a year, her rent goes. So it's based on her income. So it's, you know,
so it's like what a co-op is,
kind
right?
Of, yeah, yeah.
But which makes sense. I have people who I know who have lived in co-ops for years and years and literally turned down jobs so that they can keep the low rent space in the co-op.
Yeah. That's,
it's like, ew.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be that person. She's pretty ambitious.
No. I wasn't suggesting that she was, but it's like,
I've heard of those people. Yeah, yeah, totally. Like,
makes me a little bit crazy. I want affordable places for people to live, that people who are working hard and trying to find their way. And you know what? Frankly, I've said this a million times, and I know you have said it with me and agree that, you know, if I go up a tax bracket, it's because I'm making more. So therefore, I can afford the tax bracket that then pays for the people who perhaps can't yet hit that. You know, there's a reason why, like there are some taxes that we don't see any benefit from. And then there are others that make sense, right?
Yeah.
Like if I'm making more, then you can take some more. I get it, but like, let's be
I mean, if there's a loophole,
responsible with my, if there's a loophole, we're diving through like this.
But no, yeah, sure. I agree. I'm happy to live in the country that is Canada and pay my fair share to have the society that we live in. I don't have a problem. I don't even think about. I try to pay as little tax as I can based on taxation systems. But you know, I'm not sitting there going, you know, trying to scam. Like it's just, I respect the fact that we live in a really great country that has all this stuff, and I think a lot of people don't.
Going to China definitely gave me a new appreciation for what we have here. And frankly, what we complain about. It changes when you're far enough away that you see how good you got it, and you don't know what you got until you get away from it a little bit. But I would say, and I think you'll find this pretty funny, because 24 seasons ago when we started this podcast, I was super anti-tower, right? Like, I don't want to live in a tower. I'm not interested in living in a tower. Don't want you building a tower. There's gentle density. There's a reason why. Look at London. Look at Paris. Look at Madrid. Look at all these places. Look at Denmark. Look at the places where gentle density is working. Even in Ladner, it's working. And in Vancouver, we're just tower, tower, tower talk. And now we see that, you know, with some of the major developments across the city. And some have really pissed off the NIMBYs, right? I mean, the NIMBYs and the YIMBYs going head to head and have been for forever. And the Broadway plan, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the Broadway plan coming up. And you and I have discussed the why of the having a lot of density down Broadway. It's like the second downtown for this major city. I found myself, George, and you would have laughed. Just last week, I'm sitting on my patio with a couple of friends and the conversation turned to towers. And you wouldn't want a 21-story tower, you know, right in your neighborhood. And I looked at them and I'm like, well, yeah, actually, I think that's a good spot for a tower.
No.
I know. But because we got so busy saying no to the laneway houses and no to the gentle density in the single family dwelling places, we've spent 15 years saying no to everything, stalling everything. Then nobody had any place to go or any place to live. So now we're seeing, you know, the pendulum is swinging and the developments, some that have been stalled for a long time, happening. But interesting, in the one development that had none of the City Hall red tape because it's on First Nations land, Senoc went up like, and it's huge.
Yeah, and challenged financially by the look of things, but because of Gillespie selling his shares to the to the fund. But yeah, it's definitely you know, I think that there obviously density and the right density in the right place is something I always argued. And, you know,
you're living in it.
Yeah, I live in a tower, but I live in a townhouse. You know, things like row houses, fee simple row houses, still really hard to build anywhere in this province. Ridiculous. Why can't we have a row house that I own and it's stuck to the next one? And it's really complicated. It's a provincial regulation, not a city one. These kinds of
Municipal, yeah.
ideas, like, and the fact that now, only just now, are we allowing the possibility of having a strata laneway home. Like, I would ask this in
Right.
council for the entire time I was there. Why? Why? No, because
Because
because of the electricity. I'm like, what? Because of what? Because, you know, I'm like, this sounds ridiculous. And it was, because it turns out it wasn't true, and they could do it easily enough. You just got to subdivide, and then that's the decision by the city and the province, and it's not that hard. And then
it's not
you
that
can
hard.
underwrite the cost. You can
Do you
leave
think
it
that
in there.
Gregor Robertson, being in the provincial position that he's in now,
Federal,
that
yes.
he will make good on the stuff that he blocked as mayor?
Well, he's taking a lot of his ideas and making them national. So I worry, though, that there's, you know, things like, you know, a lot, the real focus of a lot of center and left of center politicians is to encourage rental. And I sent you some data on the massive increase in rental construction.
Right. I want to have a look at
Versus
that.
you know, home ownership over the last 13 years. It's insane. And there's a general, in politics, there's a general stat that if there are more renters in your city or in your whatever places that vote for you, they vote left. For whatever reason,
If
renters
there, say
vote,
that again, if there's more renters,
renters
they
tend to
vote.
vote center left as
Okay.
opposed to center right.
I can
Owners
see that.
vote. So there literally was a strategy by Vision Vancouver. They would always deny this, but that the encouragement of more rental construction at the cost of the taxpayers of the city, the subsidies that are still in place and haven't been taken away by ABC, which is to encourage rental development, which clearly, based on the data I sent you, which is, maybe you can read that, I don't
It's
have it,
massive.
it's
Okay, I'll put
massive.
it up.
Is
Hold
you
on, hold
don't
on.
need to encourage rental construction because it's happening. So stop it. It's happening.
Right.
And because these trust funds, they're not trust funds, but these massive funds, these pension funds, are these are good rental buildings are a great investment. You can have a return on investment per year around 5%. And if you're a pension fund, that's a really good ROI. That's a, you know, you can pay $1 billion for this building with the billions, if not trillions in some cases. Like, that's so much money, these pension funds. They're trying to find
Yeah.
safe investments. So they're putting a lot of it into rental construction. That's where a lot of that
The
money,
teachers spent the
teachers,
teachers pension fund
Ontario's pension
owns the
fund.
Toronto owns the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, that's how much
That's right.
money.
They want
So just have a
predictable
look at
growth.
this graph if you're watching
Yeah,
on
it's like,
crazy. And the caption here is, in 2012, Canada was building 12 rental units for every 100 units intended for ownership. Today, Canada is building 88 rentals for every 100 ownership units. Parabolic growth in rentals over the last 13 years, and it's just gone through the roof. It's
so if
at
you believe,
almost 90%.
yeah, which
Yeah.
is, and so if you believe my data, then that will push the electorate to the left. Which will, in
Right.
some, you know, it seems like that's not possible, but it is, because I think if you, and this is not a criticism of renters or intelligence, but if you have a skin in the game, you tend to go, well, that's my money. And that generally, for whatever reason, pushes you to the right center, to the center right of the political spectrum. And so there is this tension over the years to look at how do we build market rental units by many governments, not only here, but certainly in Canada, that's an example, that will ensure left of center governments, or center and center left of governments, for the long term. And I think what we're seeing as we see the divisiveness in the States, and we're seeing it happening in Canada and England, and you know, it's part of that. It's like this, okay, we're gaming the system here, because I'm a belief, and I'm a somewhat of a libertarian, like let the market decide these things. I've always said, don't worry, everybody, the market's going to crash and you will have for your cheap rental. Wouldn't matter if it was strata owned or owned by whoever. It's a supply and demand, but it's also based on market, you know, the market. And right now the market's crashed and there's nobody's buying anything. Everybody's like, just okay, I'll just live with my mom and dad or wherever these people are living. They're not moving here. The problem with this, because we were talking pre-show, the only problem with this when the market crashes in the market economy, and I've talked about this before, is when the market crashes, that's when the government should step in. They shouldn't be ingrained in when times are good and the market economy is building stuff. You set back, you save the cash, the market crashes, you insert yourself, you build more housing. In the case of housing, you build more housing as a government to ensure a stability of growth. Because right now what happened is that the government, certainly let's say Vancouver specifically, gave away so much money to the developers during the good times. They didn't need to do that. The developers were building stuff just fine. But hey, they said, oh, free money, we'll take it. We'll build rental. Yeah. Sure. They were building strata, but we'll build rental. So now markets crashed. Guess what developers are doing? Ugh, well, I'm not going to build anything. I can't take the risk. I'm not going to do it. You can give me as many subsidies as you want, but I'm not going to do it. What happens? And this happened in 2008. It happened in 2001. You just look at the bottleneck. Suddenly they're not building. And then in 5 years, when all these things weren't put through the process, we said, because all this stuff coming online was approved years ago. Like when I was in office, that stuff's coming online now. So 2018, a lot of that stuff is now coming online. The one in the First Nations stuff, that was all when I was in council. That stops. And then you end up in 5 years with nothing in the pipeline. And
I'm
then
gonna add one,
prices skyrocket.
I'm going to add one little caveat to this that is missed in that breakdown. Is as a long time renter in Vancouver, like I did not buy my first house until I was in my mid 30s, and that was in Toronto, and it was a duplex. I thought I'd have to live there for the rest of my life. It was so expensive. But I lived as a renter here in Vancouver all of my young adult life, and every single place that I lived in as a renter has been for years now converted into a condo. So the rental stock that once existed, that serviced an entire portion of the population, flipped into an owned condominium at five times the price. So that pushed people not just out of those rentals, but literally out of the city, and in some cases onto the street, sadly. People literally have nowhere to go. Like there's nowhere to go. And then you added the foreign buyers into the situation. And again, not a racist thing, just a holy shit of hollowed out neighborhoods of nobody living there, because we're parking our money in a safe investment in a beautiful city. And it's great to have there, and we'll pay the tax on it being empty and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, walking down, you know, our neighborhoods that ended up having storefronts closing 20 at a time, because there's nobody living here anymore, because nobody can afford to live here anymore. And the people that are living here are spending all of their money on where they're living and can't go over. Like there's this crazy equation that needs to be sorted. And the pendulum, as you say, is swinging, you know, madly from one direction to the other. And I absolutely do not have the answer to this, but I'm just in talking it through with you over these years and watching around me, I'm excited by some of the building that's happening, both rental and investment. It scares me that investment properties in condos are nosediving to the point that like the whole market is crashed in condos at the moment here in Toronto. But when you think about what those condos were selling for, like that was also unsustainable. Like there was no way for it to continue to go up like that. We watched it happen in San Francisco. We've seen it happen in Hong Kong. We've seen it happen in New York. Like we've watched that happen.
I agree.
So there's a lot to it. Just for our listeners, because I'm not arguing with you. I'm just like,
yeah.
No, just adding some context there.
Government's job should be about creating a consistency. If you're going to get ingrain yourself in the market economy, you have to pull back when you don't need to be inserted there. And when times are tough,
you
insert yourself. Yeah. And right now, times are tough, but not necessarily for if you're looking to buy right now, great time to buy.
Or it's, great time to buy.
Prices are down 20, 30%. The incentives are crazy. great time to rent right now. Potentially, it's getting better and better.
Potentially,
down 10 or 20% over
last
the year.
Last September, my stepdaughter was looking, and your son were
they
looking for
find
places,
a place.
And it was ridiculous.
Right. So,
and today, it's not as ridiculous. Still ridiculous.
So knowing that, though,
as
great,
ridiculous.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now the market economy is doing its job.
Yes.
But now what the government should be doing, and they can't, is they have to think, okay, what do we need to make sure that these, now the developers have stopped. They're all stopping. They're not putting anything, all the, if you go to City Hall, you'll just see like canceled, 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 canceled. And so the government needs to go, okay, how do we make sure that in the next 3 years, new stuff starts still coming online? Otherwise, we're going to have this bottleneck again. We're going to have this massive.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
But they're not doing
Somebody's
that.
Somebody's got to figure it
that.
Out.
They're not doing it.
Somebody's got to
figure
it out.
They don't have any
out. Money. You know
they
what I figured out? We're 3 minutes over already. We haven't even mentioned U.S. politics. So we'll have to save that for next week, George.
I think people know enough about that one, don't they?
Don't they? I think they do. You know what? Like and subscribe down below. It's Unspun Podcast. It comes out every Thursday. We will get it to you on Thursdays. We're back, baby.
We're back.
Felt good. It was like a therapy session, George. You can follow George on his social media. I like him on Twitter. He is at George_Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on Twitter and on Instagram. Lots of stories to be found and told on our social medias. George, you're also on TikTok. We're both on TikTok as well.
Yeah, mostly marketing though, but yeah. I mean,
we're cool like that. Curve Communications.
You're doing a lot of stuff on TikTok now, I noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, more. Couldn't do it from China though. Couldn't access it.
That's ironic. Yeah.
I didn't even mention Kit's pool today. We'll have to get back to that next week.
People are
going to
be shocked.
Oh. They just need to calm down. Believe me, I'll still be on it next season when it opens again.
Why is it open until October 1st? It used to be. Anyways.
They kept it open for an extra week, but keeping it on reservations and sessions. There are a bunch of takes.
Anyways, you got it in.
Anyways, see you later. Bye.
You did it. See ya.